B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's talk some NFL issues and where the NFL is going, because it appears to a lot of people, including me, that the NFL just goes merrily along. And the people that run this league just go, this is where we're going to do things. There's no such thing as COVID-19 out there. We're going to just proceed as if nothing happened. And not only that, we're going to ask our players to contribute and give up their salaries. So let's find out what's up with the NFL with our next guest, James Palmer, who works for the NFL Network. And he's on the Comcast Business Highline, Beyond Fast. Hello, James.
How you doing, Mike? Right off the bat, I started thinking of that Entourage episode where Ari tells E they don't know what's going to happen. He says, whenever Vince asks you a question, just say, we'll work it out.
Yeah.
And if they don't know what's going to happen, he just says, well, what's going to happen? Well, we'll work it out.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the thought process you got?
Well, are they going to work it out? Because, you know, I'm reading Malik Jackson going, it's unacceptable and utterly disrespectful to move forward without answering simple questions we've been asking since this pandemic started. And he's got a point. This NFL just plunges merrily along, and we don't get any answers, and nor do the players.
There is so much to cover in the next 3 weeks before these guys report. Getting all of it done is going to be a mountain to climb. I mean, there is so much to accomplish, and I think they thought that testing was going to be readily available, right? You were going to get tested, and you were going to find out immediately whether you have it or not, and that could happen over and over again, and we thought that maybe we'd be there by the time these guys were reporting, and we're not. With our testing, we've seen the way the testing has had its issues with some of these major league clubs, right, that are trying to go and practice right now, and then they'd have to cancel practices. I think the Angels happened to them because none of them got their tests back. So then they had to cancel practice for the rest of the day till all the tests come back. And so there was a lot of thought in May that things would be further along in how we are handling COVID, that they could go about their business. But in the next 3 weeks, when you have to figure out if you're going to have a system in place for players to opt out of the season if they'd like, if they feel uncomfortable and they have a reason, how do you figure that out? How do you figure that out economically with their years of service? Do you just push the contract a year back? That hasn't been figured out. They haven't figured out exactly how all of the testing is going to go. With what I said, everything they're trying to limit the opportunity of getting it, but they're really not in a place to completely protect the players right now. So there is a difficult spot where everything stands, and I know we'll get to the escrow portion of it. There's just so much on the table over the next 3 weeks before they report. They got to be working around the clock.
There are two ways I can look at this as a player. I go, okay, the NFL is really working hard to come up with some kind of protocol. They just haven't had it yet. Or the way Malik Jackson is looking at it, which is they don't seem to be concerned about our health at all. And he says, I ask you in this moment, you see us as people, not financial burdens or roster spots. Health is wealth for both parties. He's not wrong.
I don't disagree with him, because if you look at his argument, and the argument he has is the economy of things always drives everything in this country. And if he's talking about the health and well-being of them, if you're going to ask players to take, you know, 35% of their contracts and put it in escrow because there's a chance the revenue, and there's a very good chance, almost a certainty, that revenue will be down this year. If there's no fans or limited fans in any capacity, the revenue will be down. Well, they're still playing the game. They're still putting their body at risk. They're still going out there and risking injury, and you would say in this season, at a greater cap than any other year in the past, right? Because you throw in the COVID-19 on top of it. So I don't know how you would give back your money and put it in escrow, which is why obviously the Players Association is fighting against this in the manner in which they are, because at the same time, when the league does great, the players don't get any more money. As the franchises increase their power and their wealth, the players don't get any more of that money. So it kind of has to go both ways. Now, the one part, if they want to play no preseason games and the league wants to play two preseason games and they want to opt out of those two, I could see sharing some of the revenue lost in those two preseason games. But the other side of it, it's hard to argue that these players should do that.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Maybe I'm a dope, but like, why? What would be the upside for me to give up 35% to put it in escrow for the league? How does that benefit me?
I don't see one.
This is the thing. The audacity of this league as well. They'll just want to do that. Like, what? They ask themselves the question, why would a player want to do that?
I mean, the thought and their argument is, well, you know, we're trying to make sure that we don't have an issue with the salary cap in 2021, and that there's less of a dip in 2020, we don't have a massive dip in 2021, and then your guys' future contracts aren't suffering. You guys aren't going to have some veterans that are out there that are getting probably overpaid, that are going to have to be a victim of us having to cut the salary cap, and then some of your teammates and some of your friends are going to be cut because we don't have as much money. I mean, that's somewhat of the argument that is being made, but I don't see it as a player saying, why should I give up my money when I'm still the one out there trying to play 16 games in a situation that is unlike we've ever seen before, that players are going to have to go through.
So they're supposed to suck it up and say, well, it's for the welfare of the league, the survival of the league. it's amazing. The players suggested flattening the cap, right, over the next 10-year CBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why would that not appeal to the owners?
Of what, the players changing the cap?
Yeah.
Or being...
Yeah.
Well, the issue that obviously you're looking at something in the future and going and banking on it to be, you know, continuing to growing at this pace. We all assume that's going to be the case, but nobody likes to put their money on something they don't know for sure. Right. My thought would be gambling looks like it's around the corner. The new TV rights deal is after this season. It would appear to me that the league is going to be financially in a very good spot. We usually see a huge jump in the salary cap, right? Each of these 10 years when a new TV rights deal comes, it's just a huge spike. And what you could potentially do, in my opinion, would be try to bridge that gap in 2021. If the huge spike's going to come in 2022, can't you borrow from the TV rights deal in a sense to hold yourself over for a year? You're going to go up big time in 2022. Why don't you just make it more of a natural curve and help yourself through 2021 as opposed to borrowing from 2020? It's all the economy, as we started this conversation, that drives all of this. The players are the ones that are just being told report on July 28th, and we're still trying to figure it all out.
All right. Let's talk about the big issue in Philadelphia. It's the Sean Jackson situation. I know you've been following it. So I believe the Eagles are in a position now where they're trying to figure out what the best solution is. And, you know, there are people yelling, well, he should be suspended, but it goes deeper than that. There's so many levels to this, not the least of which this new movie that Jeffrey Lurie is producing. So where do you think the Eagles come out on this, and what do you think should happen?
Well, the Jeffrey Lurie part, by the way, is just the ultimate wrinkle to what's happening in this situation, and it couldn't have come at a more opportune time to show what the issue is
right. And
the organization that he is a part of, and the ownership that he is a part of in this organization. I do think the thought process is to make sure that you replace ignorance with education. And I think that is kind of, in my opinion, the goal here. And I think what Julian Edelman kind of did in him reaching out to Deshaun Jackson, to me, is kind of similar to the way the Eagles would like to approach it, to where we need to make sure, and with the current situation we're in right now, with the social unrest, that the idea right now with Black Lives Matter and this, and I don't know why he didn't get ripped apart more for what has happened, in all honesty, that this needs to be solved with education and empathy as opposed to cutting complete ties. And I think if that's the direction we want to go with, which is what we're trying to show with the way the Black Lives Matter movement's going, well, then you got to kind of use it in the same matter as this. The part that I have an issue with is I don't know why more people in the league have not spoken up at how offensive this was as a comment. I mean, Drew Brees went out and was completely tone deaf in his comments, right, about the American flag and the kneeling, and he got ripped to shreds. But I don't think that was nearly as offensive as this. And I don't think the league has ripped him apart as much, and I think it's because the Black Lives Matter movement is so predominant right now. It's not like being anti-Semitic shouldn't be you know, something that you should attack as well if somebody is that way.
When you talk about the league, you're talking about league officials? You're talking about the commissioner?
I'm talking, look at the players that reacted.
You're talking about players.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, players were extremely outspoken, weren't they, after Drew Brees came out? He had teammates like Michael Thomas, who catches a million balls from him, coming out and ripping him apart on social media. I haven't really seen that from players.
Well, I can give you a logical answer to that, and it is the backdrop of the Black Lives Matter movement, and maybe it's not right, but it is logical to think that black players aren't going to rip another black player who's involved in the same movement that they are involved in. So, and you can disagree or agree with that.
No, I agree with it. That's the part that I don't get. As active as Deshaun has been in the Black Lives Matter movement, it makes the comments to me make even less sense and doesn't add up even more so.
All right. I get that. Now, here's the thing. The Eagles have kind of set themselves up here. Now, in the backdrop of the racial climate being as hot as ever, it's different than the Riley Cooper era, even though it shouldn't have been. But they did not suspend Riley Cooper. And so if they suspend Deshaun Jackson, you got that kind of backlash to deal with. So I think the Eagles aren't going to go there. I think they're going to do what you said, the education part of it. Now, do you think they should suspend him or they will?
I think, like what I started out by saying, I think it's the education and the empathy of teaching that they might go that route. And I think that will show kind of the man that Jeffrey Lurie is.
Uh-huh.
It's funny that we talk about this you know, documentary taking 3 years to put together, and kind of show where he stands in this, to where I want to educate as many people on anti-Semitism as possible, as opposed to punishing people. Mm-hmm. Let's educate people and make sure that they don't continue to spread, you know, negative preaching and continue to learn and educate themselves.
Yeah. I gotcha. And I think that's the way it's going to come out. James, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. You too, Mike. Take care.
There is James Palmer at NFL Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.